Hallelujah. I need to also pray for Pastor and the group. They're gone. I'm not sure exactly. Well, somewhere in Missouri. So be believing for the students to be really touched of the Lord. It's a great opportunity for them to go. And so just pray for their safety. Amen. And that God touch them and radically impact their lives. Amen. Turn to Mark chapter 4, verse number 35. I believe the Lord's laid something on my heart for this morning. So if we can jump right into this, amen. Mark 4, verse 35 through 41. When you're there, say, praise God. All right. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there was arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, this is Jesus, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Sounds kind of comical, doesn't it? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto them, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, Lord. I pray that you would bury your word in our heart today, Father. I pray that you would bless and build up and encourage and challenge your people, dear Lord God. I believe you laid this on my heart. Speak it through me by your power in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Today we're going to talk about crazy faith for crazy times. Somebody say crazy faith for crazy times. So you see, Jesus had previously told them that they were going to the other side. That's how he starts it off, by telling them, we're going to the other side. Now you know how we are as humans. Many times we forget what God said when the trouble comes, right? We tend to forget that God said, you're going to the other side. He didn't say everything was going to be, you know, peaches and cream going to the other side. He didn't say everything was going to be fabulous, but he promised, you're going to go to the other side. Listen to verse 36. And they sent away the multitude, and they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also other little ships. Verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. Think about that in your life. Think about the storms. Think about the wind. Think about things that are coming against your life or in past tense have come against your life. And during that moment, you forget that God said you're going to the other side. Amen? Have you ever had a situation where God told you something and it seemed like the exact opposite was what was taking place? You see, what God is trying to do is God is trying to teach us to trust Him. He's trying to grow our faith. He wants us to have ever-increasing faith. That means the Scripture says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. That measure of faith is not what we're supposed to build up a tent and stay the rest of our life. The measure of faith is what God gives us to be saved. Once we are saved, we are to cultivate our faith. We are to grow in God's word. We are to cultivate it and grow. And God allows. Now, God doesn't send, He doesn't send things in your life, but He allows things to come into your life so that we will grow, so that we will become stronger, so that as the difficulty comes, we have the opportunity to remind ourselves that God said you're going to the other side. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life there have been things that have happened that were chaotic, and I'm like, how in the world can I find any bit of God in what's going on right now in my life? Anybody been there before? You see, God allows things to come against you. Why? Because God knows how we are. We are comfort driven. Come on now, somebody. A lot of times it's why we have two services, amen? But Pastor, I like to sleep in. So we have two services to accommodate those that want to sleep in, amen? Well, actually here we accommodate because we don't really have no choice, really. We stack you up like cordwood. It'd be kind of hard to listen, wouldn't it? Especially if you have a little one about midway and they have to teach you and everybody gets wet underneath, they wouldn't be good with it. But listen to me. God knows that we're comfort driven, and He knows that if He doesn't allow things to shake us, He knows that if He doesn't allow storms to come, we will get comfortable and complacent. And complacent is a cuss word. Now it's really not, but it is spiritual, because once we begin to be complacent, we get stagnant and we don't grow. And that's why God allows things to come into our life. He allows difficulty to happen because He wants us to learn to trust Him. The Scripture says, "Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in Him is everlasting strength." You see, God doesn't want us to have crutches in our life. And you know we like crutches. We like to have stuff to depend on. And listen to me, we need to have, like first that he talked about, we need to have friends in our life. But can I tell you, there are going to be times in your life God's going to make it to where it's nobody but you and Him. You're going to say, "Has God said anything to you about my situation?" And they're going to look at you and say, "No." And you go to somebody else and say, "God said," and they're like, "No." What God is trying to teach us is there are times God said, "I'm going to set it up to where your only source is going to be me." Don't you thank God for godly friends? Don't you thank God for people in your life? Absolutely. But you see, God wants us to learn that there are going to be times. Man. Just like these men in the boat, they had brothers with them, but they're like, "I love you, brother. This storm is freaking me out. This difficulty is shaking me." And the Bible says as this storm is going on, this great storm of wind, and it began to beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now think about this. Now let's don't just read past this. We're not talking about some little storm that came. We're talking about a storm in such great magnitude that the boat is full of water. Brother Mark Gaddis, that's not good when your boat's full of water, is it? Not good at all. So listen to me, what happens so many times in life, because sometimes life comes in so many different angles. You see, if we're not careful, life can make you bitter. Amen. People go through a series of things in their life, and we have two choices. We can get better or we can get bitter. And God wants us to get better, because if we get bitter, it not only affects us, it affects everybody else that we could impact. Oh, come on, somebody. You see, God doesn't want us to be bitter. There are a lot of people filling this globe. They are bitter. They're mad at everybody and they don't know why. It's because a series of events have happened. A series of waves have come against their life, and they believe the lie from the enemy, and they say, the devil says, "If God loves you, He wouldn't let this happen to you. If God loves you, you wouldn't have lost your dad. If God loves you, you wouldn't have lost your marriage. If God loves you, you wouldn't have lost your child at 12 years old of brain cancer. If God loves you, you wouldn't have lost your nephew." Am I relating to anybody? And what God wants us to do is when we're in the boat and the boat is full of water, God wants us to remember, because sometimes, I think God sits in heaven and laughs sometimes. He gives us a word and something happens and we're freaking out. I mean, you ever have those freaking out moments? Y'all better be honest up in here. We're like, "Jesus, Lord, help a brother out. Somebody, please." The boat's filling for the water, and it's like God is saying, "When are you going to learn to trust me? Didn't I tell you you're going to the other side?" But God, don't you see the water? He's like, "Don't you know I created the water? Don't you know I gave you the brains to create this boat? Don't you know that I let you have friends in the boat to help you when you spasm out? Sometimes it helps spasm each other out a little bit more, amen. Because these guys are freaking out. They're spazzing. They're going ballistic. Can't you just see God sitting on His throne sometimes looking at us freaking out? And God is saying, "When are they going to learn to trust me? When are they going to learn to use the 'I believe God' and really believe God?" Because anybody can sing a tune on a clear day at noon, but it's a whole other story to sing it at midnight. It's a whole other story to look at the darkness of your day and say, "God, where are you in this storm? God, where are you at? You promised me. Where are you at?" And we say sometimes things just don't make sense. Sometimes good, godly people go through horrendous things. God-fearing people love God, serve God, tithe, give, serve, minister, all this stuff. Yet difficulty comes and the world looks on and says, you say that God loves you, look at what's happening to you. And our response is, if it wasn't for God's grace, I would crumble under the load of this. Come on, somebody. Oh, come on, give Him praise. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. You see, faith is awesome, but listen, it's hinged upon God's grace. Ooh. See, we need to have strong faith, but God's grace will always be stronger than the person with great faith. Because grace is the catalyst that gets us to faith. Oh, are you hearing this? Grace is the catalyst that helps us to cultivate our faith because we know that we wouldn't even be in the boat if it wasn't for God. If it wasn't for God, we would be pushed down and cast aside somewhere, left alone for dead, waiting for judgment to spend eternity in hell. But for the grace of God, you are still here. Oh, come on, somebody. Every now and then in our life, what we need to do, what happens is when trouble comes, we forget about all the God times where God brought us through and we didn't know how in the world we were going to get through, yet God brought us through. Yet we go through a series of events and we begin to develop amnesia and we forget about all the times before when the boat was filling up with water and sometimes God waits just to the nick of time to see if we're going to stay in the boat or jump out of the boat. That's why at times some have shipwrecked faith. You see, we need to learn to stay in the boat. We need to learn to stay in His hand. We need to learn to say, God, I'm going to stay in Your hand. Come hell, come high water, come windstorm, come rain, come opposition, come whatever. I'm going to stay in Your hand. The Bible says that no man can pluck us from the hand of God. Absolutely, but you can jump out if you want to. Amen. He's not a dictator. He allows you to pick and choose what you want to do in your life. And the Holy Spirit wants us to learn to trust God even in the midst of opposition, even in the midst of crazy times. Let me show you something here. In John 17, verse 9, words of red. This is Jesus. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which You have given Me, for they are Mine. This is Jesus praying to the Father, praying for us. He said, all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. This is just before Jesus was crucified. Are you listening to me? He said, I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Your own name those whom You've given Me, that they may be one as We are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest Me, I have kept, and none of them have I lost except for one who is Judas Iscariot, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 13, and now I come to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have My joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that You should take them out of the world, but that You should keep them from evil. What He's saying is, God, I'm going to ask You at this present moment to pull them out of the world, because listen to me, there are people that are on their way to hell and they need the light of Jesus that Christians possess. So who is praying, Father, at this time I'm not asking You to take them out of the world. I'm asking You to help them to understand that I'm going to help them get through this world. I'm going to help them go through the storms. I'm going to help them go through hardship. I'm going to help them go through situations where they've been stabbed in their back, yet they held their faith true to God and they walked on. I'm going to walk with them as they go through divorce. I'm going to walk with them as their 16-year-old daughter gets pregnant. I'm going to walk through them as their teenage son suffers from alcohol. I'm going to walk through them and help them. Help them to go through. You see,
Raise your hand if you believe in the rapture. Five people? Come on now. Let me say that again. How many of you believe in the rapture? That's a little bit better. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the return of the Lord. It talks about that. Don't have time to preach that another time. That's going to be an awesome day, isn't it? When we're raptured by the Lord, either when someone passes from death to life, those that are saved. But listen to me. I'm convinced many times people get too hung up on wanting to go to heaven. They forget about assignment. They forget about purpose. They forget about those people on the street that don't know Jesus. And if Jesus were to come back now, they would end up in hell. And God promised, He said, the gospel shall be preached to all the world, and then shall the end come. The problem with the whole world hearing is God is getting the word preached all over by satellite radio, by satellite, by cable, by missionaries, by people picking up tents, going to different places, by people standing on corners, risking their life to preach the gospel. You see, we don't know when the end is going to come, and what God wants us to do, He wants us to stop trying to jump out of the boat and say, God, even in the midst of my pain, help me to learn to minister to you and to minister to people. Because listen to me, it's easy to minister to God and to minister to people when everything is going great in your life and your bank account's fine and your wife loves you and your husband loves you and your kids are making great grades in school and everything's great and everything's going just like you wanted to at the church and everything's just hunky-dory and it's all great. But listen to me, we need to learn to say, God, help me to minister when difficulty comes. God, help me to press through when my child is struggling in school. God, help me to press through when my husband's looking at me crazy and he won't talk to me. God, help me to walk through when my bank account, when my money's acting funny. God, help me to press through in difficulty. Some people get so caught up in heaven, and heaven's going to be phenomenal. But we got a job to do. That's why Jesus was praying, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to help them to understand that I will be with them. But with us, He's in us. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. Wow. Think about that. God knows that He maps out your destiny and the plan for your life. He knows there's going to be storms. Yet He sends you anyway. He knows there's going to be opposition. But He sends you on that path. Why? Because He knows the end result. Come on now. He knows the end from the beginning, and God is saying, will you trust me through this storm? Would you trust me through this difficulty? Because we can all say there are a lot of people going through very challenging times in our world. The Bible talks about perilous times would come. That means difficult, hard times. But we have an awesome God to help us through our difficulty. And the thing that can win the world is when the world is watching you. Because listen to me, if you claim Jesus at all, they are watching you. And they hear stuff going on in your life. And they're watching you to see your faith. To see if your faith is going to go shipwreck. To see if you're going to stay true to God. Or if you're going to get mad and blame God and quit church. That happens all the time. Well, this happened and they blame God. God, you did this. Listen to me. Say it to me. Say, God is a good God. You see, we get it mixed up. It's good God, bad devil, right? It's because of the goodness of God that we're even led to repentance. You see, sometimes we allow the enemy to speak things into our mind and into our heart, and we conjure up all kinds of ideas, and we blame God for something that God had nothing to do with. And God is saying, if you will trust me, I will bring you through this. You see, sometimes you have to have crazy faith. Sometimes in the midst of your tears, you have to be willing to choose to believe that somehow, someway, God is going to bring you through. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you in this room right now, you're going through some crazy times. Your heart is bleeding on the inside. You don't understand what's going on. The devil's number one response is give up. But some of you in this room, you've made up your mind a long time ago, giving up was no longer an option. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of you in this room, you settled that a long time ago. Quitting is not an option. Come on now. We got too many people quitting, but God says, stay in the boat. Trust me, even when it don't make sense. Even when it's crazy. Even when everything is going right, you're sailing on the boat and the sun is perfect and it's just right and you break out your new board and everything's just going good. I mean, you're having a great time till Brother Mark throws you 20 feet in the air. Or tries to. But then before you know it, you see clouds. You're like, hey, it's okay. It's all good. It's all good. And then the storm comes and you feel like it's all good. Then it starts raining, you like it's all good. And the longer it weighs on you, the longer it weighs on you, the enemy begins to pinpoint things and say, look at this, and look at this, and look at this. And too many times we look at the waves and we look at the circumstance instead of remembering what God said. You ever done that before? If you honest folk in here. You see, I'm reminded, I lose track of time because you know how fast time goes these days. I mean, my watch has the Holy Ghost already. It's like almost time to hush. It feels like I just started. But I remember, it's been over a year ago, I was headed to work. Normal, average day. Everything cool. Just running. And I got a phone call. Crazy phone call about my nephew. All I heard was, your nephew shot. That's all I knew. So, I wish I could have told you I just smiled, but I didn't. I broke. I began to weep. To make a long story short, I got in touch with my wife. To fast forward, my pastor at the time wouldn't let me drive because he didn't want me to drive. So he picked us up and took off to, I can't even remember where it was, but we took off wherever it was. Came at Memphis or Jackson, not sure. I think Jackson. I remember getting there, somebody said storm, somebody said difficulty. And I remember, because I know, I was reminding myself of all the times that God had spoken through me into His life and all that kind of stuff. I remember them finally letting us get back to His room and Him laying there. Somebody said crazy faith. You see, some may have thought I was crazy, but at the time I really didn't care, because that was my nephew. Come on now. Crazy times requires crazy faith. And I'm like, Jesus, you raised Lazarus from the dead. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to go out swinging. Come on, somebody. Either we believe the book or we don't believe the book. And I stood there after I had weeped, we began to pray over my nephew for God to raise him from the dead. Sounds crazy, but that's okay. For whatever reason, he passed from this life to the next. He went on to be with the Lord, which is awesome. But it's like this. I had options there. Really, I didn't, because it was too settled in my spirit. But I could have said, okay, God, you didn't heal him. I quit. I'm not preaching no more. I stop. I'm walking away. It wasn't an option. Come on, somebody. I'm not pumping me. I'm just trying to get you to understand something. It was not an option. I wanted him raised from the dead, First Lady. I would love to look into his handsome face today and call him a punk like I did all the time. He called me punk all the time. But he loved me and he respected me big time because he knew I loved him big time. But anyway, I remember as he lay there, the Spirit of God knew I was struggling. He spoke things. He reminded me first of times that God spoke into his life. And I had to be strong in my faith and understand
Some things in life you don't understand. God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and your ways, my thoughts and your thoughts. So the thing is sometimes, even when you believe, sometimes things just don't make sense. I prayed for people and had people in line and prayed for people. This one get healed and this one wouldn't. But that doesn't mean that I start preaching God's not a healer. The Word says He's a healer. All I know is it's God's will to heal every time. I can't tell you what sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. I remember praying in a line for a lady. She had a brace on her arm. I didn't know all the details, but God healed her eyes so she could see. God healed her arm so she can raise her arm. I didn't know all this, but the optic nerve in her eye had been severed. I didn't know that. I was just praying for people, but God healed her. You ought to praise God right there. The girl couldn't see, then she could see. But not everybody else was healed. Does that mean we stop preaching that? It just means that sometimes life doesn't make sense. Sometimes life just does not make sense. You have 25 people lined up praying for them to be healed, and maybe two get healed and the rest don't. All I'm going to tell you is He is still a healer. Stay in the boat and believe that God is still able and willing to perform that which He has spoken. My mother's not here this service, she'll be here next service, but she's had over 20 surgeries. And there was many times I believed for healing, it didn't happen. But I still believe He's a healer. Come on, somebody. I don't understand all the ramifications. I don't understand why she had to have some of her bone cut out. All I know is God is still a healer. Come on, somebody. In crazy times, have crazy faith. Let me show you this. You see, in the boat, somebody say in the boat, with the storms, we can still have faith. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Thee, because he trusts in Thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, for in Him is everlasting strength. Philippians 4 verse 7, And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, it says through all understanding. Some things in life don't make sense. Amen. It doesn't matter why a guy or a girl can be raised in a pastor's home. They can be taught the Word of God and the Word of God modeled before them, and one strays and goes from God. Sometimes things just don't make sense. Sometimes things just don't equate. But God wants us to understand in trying, difficult, hard times of life, God will give you perfect peace. Hardest thing I've ever done in my life was the day before I preached my nephew's funeral. First lady, I had a service lined up to preach a youth service. And in that youth service, they were to have a casket at my feet, and I was to be the preacher at the end of that drama. And I had just watched my nephew die. And I struggled within myself. I struggled within myself saying, baby, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. And I called Pastor. I said, I don't know if I can do it. And being a good pastor at that point, he didn't push me to do it. Through a series of events, the last minute I let him know I was going to do it. And he said, I felt that way the whole time. I just didn't tell you that. So the day before I preached my nephew's funeral, the day before, 2 days, I believe, after he'd been shot in the back of the head and killed, had a coffin at my feet. The drama was talking about someone in a car wreck and they died. So a tragic event with all that had gone through in my life. Don't really know what I preached that night. Don't really have a clue. All I know is, somebody say peace. All I know is peace. Somehow God help me. Somehow God helped me stand under the weight of the load of what I was facing when I had a difficult time. Some of my family probably didn't understand why I would go preach, but I had a call on my life. And God says, son, you're hurting, but there's an assignment. Go. And that night, I don't know how, but I know approximately 6 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. All because God says, son, in the midst of your faith may be wavering, but listen to me, my grace is going to overwhelm you. Come on, somebody. You see, God is saying to some of you in this room, difficulty and pain and hardship is coming against your life. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hear me right here. God says, my grace is about to overshadow you. Did He not say, my grace is sufficient for thee? And God somehow did for me what He did for Gideon. And He put me on and led young people to the cross of Calvary. And God used a horrible, ugly situation that I did not understand. I still don't understand. All I know today to tell you is God is a God that'll bring you through the storm. He's a God that'll bring you through things that doesn't make sense. When the devil would say your faith didn't work, when people would say you're crazy for serving a God that will let you go through that, all I know to tell you is He's the same God that'll bring you through whatever you're going through at the season. He's the Lord of your breakthrough. And when your life does not make any sense, and maybe people in your family will look at you and say, you are crazy. Say, I sure am. I got crazy faith. I got a God that's got grace. I've got a God that's got such crazy grace. He'll rest it on me. Listen, the Bible says that even in our moments where we faint, God will increase our strength. So God says, when you feel like you're wearing out, He says, when your heart is with me, I'll increase your strength. Come on now. Give you a Holy Ghost B12 to boost you up. Amen. To help you to stand against it. Because the devil hates it. The devil wants you to hurt. You know that. But what he really wants you to do is when you're strong in your faith, he wants you to crumble under the weight of your situation. And sometimes it could be easy if you hadn't settled it way back here. Come on now. It's kind of hard for the devil to go through all that way back here. Amen. When someone comes to you with a crazy situation, you say, hold on. I can write you a book about crazy situations. Come on. You can tell them I can write you a book about crazy stuff when it looked like there was no hope and there was all this kind of stuff, yet somehow God did it. How did God do it? I don't know. You mean you can't explain it? No. Some things you just can't explain. Come on. That's why Chris Thomas says He's indescribable. Come on now. Oh, Jesus. I got a hush. Let me show you this. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6. Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Somebody say, He is. Listen to verse 34. This is the wall of faith. It says, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Somebody receive that. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Somebody say, difficult times. Whom received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Listen to me. Sometimes when we go through tough times, the devil will make you think you're the only one. And Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, blows our mind because he said, you can lock me in a prison cell, but you let me get my hand on something, I'm going to write an encouragement to somebody else, because though I might be hurting, there's grace on me to minister. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. These are people of faith. Some lived, some died. They were sown asunder, tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. But listen, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receiving not the promise. You see, some lived in faith, yet some died in faith, and God honored them both. Oh, did you hear that? God honored them both. Because as they were being sawn asunder, as they were being stoned to death, they didn't die because they had a lack of faith. Oh, come on, somebody. Or if they just had more faith. No, the Bible says they died in faith. Come on now. Sometimes people pass from this life to the next, sometimes because they want to. Sometimes elderly people get tired of fighting and they just want to see Jesus. Amen. Have a grandmother that's been serving God longer than I've even known anything about God. I was so amazed. I went to see her the time before. I've got... And I was reading the Bible with her, first lady quote. I was reading the Bible, and she's in her mid stages of Alzheimer's. However you say that word, that word's always been hard for me to say. But I'm reading out of the Bible, and she's quoting the verse before I get to it. Come on now. What I'm trying to tell you is, whether, because some would say that they didn't have faith, they had faith. They believed God. As they stoned Stephen, Stephen was not a coward. Stephen said, I'm not going to deny my faith for anything. Amen? They stoned him to death and he died in faith. So what we need to do is, whether we go by way of the rapture or by way of the grave, is go in faith. Come on, now the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. And the Bible says when God comes back, will we find faith on the earth? So when he comes back, we need to be found in what? Stand to your feet, please. Crazy faith for crazy times. And that same story, Jesus questioned them for their lack of faith. And he stood up and calmed the storm. It could be that he'd done that to see if they would, if their faith would be strong enough. In that point, it wasn't. But regardless, in your life today, what's going on, whatever situation, whatever circumstance, God sees where you are. I just want to tell you, don't get out of the boat. Father, thank you.